everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, March 16th. We just finished watching Raw, and we're here on MegaPowersRadio.com for the funnest Monday Night Raw post-show you can find out there. There's lots of imitations out there, but we are the one that you joined because we are the one that you want to be with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Fuck everybody else. Fuck all this other shit.
I don't know.
Fuck the police.
So, we are continuing the road to WrestleMania. We just finished the second last Raw to it. And we have been complaining very often that it just doesn't feel like it's exciting for WrestleMania. And I really don't want to just do the same old bitch and moaning. I want to do something a little bit different here. If we're going to at least complain about this show, I want to analyze the details of this. I want to explain why a lot of people are going on and saying this is the worst build to WrestleMania ever. And you know what? I think a lot of people are being a little overzealous with that. We got to remember this isn't done yet. There are a lot of times where they've crammed the major parts of the build into the last couple weeks before the show. So let's give them a little bit of the benefit of doubt with that. But in general, I agree. It's been rather a lame duck build. So I want to go...
duck build?
Duck build, you know.
Man, I've got to analyze stuff and give my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know,
when
you're doing a duck build, it's best to use duct tape.
That was pretty amazing, right there.
All right, guys. So if you out there have an opinion you want to give on what's going on in wrestling right now, specifically the events of Raw Night, but even just in general what's going on with this WrestleMania build, we want to hear what you got to say. This is the most interactive post-Raw experience, as we like to tout. Call in, get yourself heard via the phone or Skype line. We're going to open up those around 11:30, but if you want to dial in, get yourself in, it's 760-512-7247 if you're using the phone, or just click on the Skype button at the top of the page if you want to. But if you're impatient, you want to already get your voice out there. We have the chat room scrolling already, and give shout outs to the people who got here early. Five times combo. Brian the Brain, good to see you early, man. Ferris 419, Chaotic, Wazili, and Silent Wind of Doom. Good to have all of you here nice and early. Thanks for joining us as always, guys. Anyone else out there? I see we still have lots of guests. Let me give you the usual spiel. If you have not yet and you're just sitting there sitting as a guest, register with blogtalkradio.com. Get yourself a cool, fancy nickname so I can give you a shout-out during the show, and you can join the conversation scrolling there in the chat. And in the meantime, us panelists are going to get things started, introducing who we are, the voices you've already heard. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me tonight, the main man of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, dude?
What's chicken is that you look like Bob Saget again, and this is the greatest day of my life now.
Yeah,
I
like to cosplay, so I'm actually cosplaying as Bob Saget. I'm just very good.
You know, don't go as Quellman anymore. Just go as Bob Saget. See how many people will just be like, hey, look, it's Bob Saget. Nah, this is me and Mikey P.
It's a much better choice than Dave Coulier.
I would go for John Stamos, if anything, but I do agree I would go Bob Saget over Dave Coulier, yes.
Cooley B is so much
probably better. Even over Jody Sweetin.
Oh, poor Jody Sweetin.
What Jody did to you?
Oh, goodness. Also with us is the host of Wago Rants, Unanimous Decision MMA, addicted to anime, and often here on this show and Smack Talk, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, dude?
Not much. And to answer the chat, the reason I hate Lanny Poffo so much is because I hate people that leech off dead guys, especially when they're their fucking family.
So should you be taking shots at Chavo Guerrero?
Well, I hate everyone. Yeah, everyone hates on Chavo, so it's not cool.
I thought it was the spirit of Eddie Guerrero.
But yeah, fuck Chavo.
Well, and the last person here with us is Mr. Tony Mango, president of Fanboys Anonymous and Smart Out Moment. I gave you that one shout out there. Mr. Tony, how you doing?
Doing all right. How you been, man?
I'm good, Mr. Mango. How you doing?
Mr. Mango. How you do? Oh, Lordy, Mr. Mango. Oh. How you doing, Mr. Mango?
Hey, we got R-Truth on commentary here. Well, why not? He's on commentary every other fucking match, so.
Yo, Truth, give me my belt back.
Oh, best commentary moment of the night before I forget. Fucking Booker T goes, well, if you just let me tell you about Sting's mindset, right? And fucking Michael Cole just cuts him off and talks over him and signs the show off. I thought it was great.
Well, one of my favorite commentary moments also came from Booker T, is when R-Truth was on commentary, and R-Truth was like, I learned how to do that in college. And Booker T calls him out, what college?
Funny enough, one of my favorite commentary moments was Booker as well tonight, and it wasn't either of those. It was a different one. He, in the middle of the Divas match, he's just like, yeah, women typically hate each other, and both Cole and JBL are like, whoa, I didn't say it. So he's like, no, Charmel says this, and they're like, you're gonna throw Charmel under the bus? And he's like, oh, fuck.
There was one point, I don't know if you guys caught it, where Booker did the ha. To the extended laugh. Drew.
You know what's great about Booker over Jerry Lawler? Is when he's funny, at least he's generally funny because he's retarded. When Jerry, it was just embarrassing.
Indeed. Drew, yeah. We all had our favorite Booker commentary moment of the night. What was yours? This should be a regular segment. Our favorite Booker commentary moment of the night.
I think it's a good segment. You know, if commentary is good, at least it's worth mentioning. But no, I think Wega mentioned it already, but it was like at the end of the show. Like Booker was like trying to like say something. Michael Cole's like, anyways, look at this replay, guys. By God. And it was awesome.
And he turned into JR, apparently.
Yeah. I missed that part. all right. Well, skipping past the Booker team moment of the night, I usually like to start off by asking you guys what the number one thing you took away from the show was heading into WrestleMania. This is very important what our answers are. So let's hear what you guys got to say. Wega, let's start off with you. What's the number one thing you took away tonight?
Outside of that Roman Reigns' blue contacts are really freaky, I think the final segment closing Raw is how you're meant to close a Raw show. Very strong. I was happy with it. I kind of saw what was coming with how the Authority was all going to come out, but the fact that they had Sting finally show up on Raw, it helped out a lot.
Drew, what about you?
Essentially, I don't know how I feel right now. I'm very conflicted for the most part. And I don't know if it's just like a terrible build, because this is definitely worse than last year in the past couple years when it comes to a build to Mania, but it was just an average draw, and I honestly don't know what I should say about it. It wasn't that I didn't pay attention, it was just I don't know what to say at this point.
Tony, how about you? You got anything specific that stuck out to you after the show?
Yeah, and this is really kind of obscure and odd, and I'm sure that it's not going to really be that much of a talking point, but it's something that really did stick out to me. I'll mention, you know, goods and bads and stuff like that later on, but one thing that really stood out to me on this episode was it looks like everybody got a decent amount of sleep, and everybody looked like on point tonight. Like, they looked well rested, they looked like they had been in better shape than they've been in weeks. Like, Wade Barrett looked like a fucking beast.
Yeah, his fucking abs.
Yeah. Roman Reigns, you pointed out the contacts or whatever. I was talking to Caroline, and she's just like, oh my God, like, swoon. Looking at the Divas, and I'm like, oh my God, Paige looks amazing. AJ looks amazing. The Bella Twins look amazing. Like, she mentioned that Ryback looked like white poop. I don't really get that 100%, but still, like, almost everybody looked like really well rested tonight and happy and upbeat and energetic. And, you know, if they could keep that up week in and week out, they're amazing. I wouldn't expect them to, but sometimes that could be a huge difference maker in a show. And maybe that's why I like this episode.
So before we go into analyzing each individual point, and, yeah, I'm sorry, Tony. I mean, you're kind of right. There isn't much to talk about that, so that's why I'm not like really feeding off it too much. I agree, though. I'm actually glad you pointed that, because I wouldn't have thought to say it, but you pretty much said all we're going to say about that. So very, very well put into it, though. And it's good. If that is the case, I guess I will follow it up. If that is the case, then good on them, because very often I think they tend to run these guys ragged before WrestleMania because they're always on the road so much trying to promote it. If they found a way to give him a few more extra days off before the big show, maybe like not full days off, but, you know, send him down to Florida to enjoy, like, the day on the beach and maybe a little bit of time down at the Performance Center. That'd be perfect, if that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know what the scenario is. It's different this time than the past couple of weeks, but, hey, maybe it's just a matter of not having to do as many local radio shows and shit like that, or maybe they're not running as many house shows. I don't know, but whatever it is, they made them look great, so... Maybe it was just an awesome flight that they took and they all got like a good night's sleep. I don't know.
You know, you say they're not going out promoting things so much. And I'm wondering if that is the case because their model has changed and they're not focused as much on selling pay-per-views. They sell the network. And a lot of those network subscribers are already there. I think Wago brought up the point last week that if they have 1 million subscribers, don't they technically already have 1 million buys set for WrestleMania? And it's, you know, it's kind of murky how you want to interpret that, but you can make an argument for that. And if that's the case, then I guess they're already set, yeah?
Yeah, I guess so.
They've already got over 1 million people paying for their service.
Yeah.
Regardless if they watch the pay-per-view or not, they pay for it.
Well, and yeah, perhaps, though, this is something that CM Punk brought up in his long argument, but it probably is a fair point. How is that money distributed? Because WrestleMania, they spend a lot of money on that show. It's the only show they actually make a new set for every year. They spend a lot of money lavishly making it a big deal. Everyone gets new costumes. They actually do pyro regularly throughout the show, except for the one we went to, of course. What do they get from those network numbers? Because that's got to be a cut to how much income they get. Yeah, it's 1 million buys, but it's 1 million buys at a much, much lower rate.
But also what you got to take into effect is the reason the rate was so high is because of how much that third party takes off.
50%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to say
I've heard higher numbers,
it's usually around 50. So even if you say it's 50. So if it's 50, it would be $30. So they're still getting a third of what they were getting.
Plus, it's not like you can just divvy it up and say, well, 1 million people that have the network, it's 1 million times $10. And we're going to give you a cut of that because they're not just spending $10 on the pay-per-view. They're spending it on all of the other content as well. So I don't know how they really divvy that up, but I guess they have some kind of a system. Maybe it's like you just sort of get a bonus based off of like the people that watch it. Like if they can track how many people watch each thing, maybe there's something based off of that. I don't know.
Well,
stock options.
I'm not getting into that crap. Let's move on to the thing I wanted to get into here, which is before we analyze each individual segment that happened on the show, I want to talk about the overarching build to WrestleMania because that's something we touched on a little bit through our things we took away. Is this the worst build to a WrestleMania of all time? Because I think that's a bit dramatic.
It's really dramatic. Even I, who has watched wrestling the least amount probably of everyone,
if I recall directly, that triple threat that had DX and Chris Benoit, didn't that have, like, Hornswoggle involved and shit?
I don't think so.
I don't think Hornswoggle was around then.
Yeah, I don't think Hornswoggle was around, or if he was, he wasn't that big of a deal. I should look at both of that feud.
Like, 2006, 2007?
Whenever Finlay came in. It was like, yeah, an Irishman, eh? Needs a fucking leprechaun.
The 22 build wasn't that good, to be honest. I really can't think of anything that stood out from that one.
Oh, no, the 22 build kicked ass. That was kind of like Triple H when he was finally starting to like come off as the old man and John Cena was the young gun coming in and Triple H was like, no way, I'm still the King of Kings. This is my...
Oh, okay.
And that was when Triple H came out as freaking Conan the Barbarian the first time.
Okay. I was thinking of a complete... I don't even know what mini I was thinking of then, yeah.
All right, so I just looked it up. Hornswoggle did come in 2006. Mm-hmm. That was where he debuted as a little bastard. And funny enough, this is a side note... His first name back in 2004 when he started wrestling was the world's sexiest midget short stack.
Wow. Dude, that is awesome.
Short stack is spelled with, instead of an S to start it off, it's a fucking dollar sign.
Oh, you know what? Him and fucking Val Venus would have been perfect together.
Okay, Brian the Brain saying Mania 1 sucked. I'm sorry, I don't know shit about that.
Yeah. Oh, he's probably...
Heard 1997 had a pretty good build.
Oh, WrestleMania 13 had a fucking terrible build to a terrible match. That was, ugh.
Disgusting. Gross.
Yeah, I meant 1999.
What was 99?
What about the 23 build?
23, that was just like a plain like where two like top stars were gonna fight. They didn't really have anything too personal in there. Yeah, they won the tag titles, which was weird because they didn't even like address that at all during the match.
WWE did that, was going through a weird phase where they gave like would just randomly put two stars together and give them a tag team title as a way to do stuff with the feud. Mm-hmm. But for the 99 Mania, that was 15, I believe.
Oh, that was Rock and Austin. Yeah,
first one.
That was
23 when Rock had some good stuff.
That was Rock, when Rock was the corporate champ. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and then you had that fucking awkward Undertaker Big Boss Man feud.
Yeah, what'd you say, Tony? Yeah. I'm sorry.
23 had some decent build stuff when it came to like the promos and the video.
Oh, that was like well, Donald Trump and
Vince McMahon. Yeah, that was the Battle of the Millionaires. That fucking kicked ass.
Yeah, that was
well, good. Even like the all grown up promos, they were good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that's the one that did what's the name of that song? I just had it in my head and I just lost it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, that's probably the best WrestleMania song ever. Mm-hmm. Other you know than what? You know WrestleMania.
I don't know if anyone mentioned it, but WrestleMania 24 had some awesome feuds. You had the Undertaker Edge Mayweather versus Big Show, which turned out to be one of the best feuds and matches they had on the show.
Was 24 the Flair retirement?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Like, there was a lot of stuff on there.
Then I think they had triple threat between Triple H, Orton, and Cena.
And I think Punk grabbed one of his brass rings that night, too.
25. aside, what's it?
That was a Shawn and
Taker. Well, besides Shawn and Taker, I remember the main event was when Triple H went into Randy Orton's house.
Yeah.
That's about all I really remember from that.
Yeah, and Orton kissed Stephanie.
Oh yeah, and then he
yeah after he gave DDT. That DDT.
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool actually. That was well done.
Yeah, it's a shame that the match wasn't good.
Oh, you know what else 23 had that we didn't mention was the Edge Mick Foley. Awesome match and the build whole thing was great good. Too.
Yeah, I mean, when people say that this is the worst build to WrestleMania ever, they say that.
Okay,
well,
we're talking about good ones. What were some bad ones if we can remember them?
Well, you already mentioned WrestleMania
13.
21 was just mainly the Money in the Bank match and the Kurt Angle Shawn Michaels feud. Because I remember the two main event titles. Just like I don't remember much from those feuds. I don't know if they were bad or anything.
The
but
matches
just,
themselves
like,
were good. I don't remember much about the feuds. The thing I remember about the build for 21 was the Hollywood parody videos, which were excellent. So I'll give it props for that. But other than that, yeah, it was probably kind of weak. WrestleMania 2000, that was a horribly botched build.
Yeah, there's no way it shouldn't have been Triple H versus The Rock in the main event.
And
like it needed to be a single
spot. Even if they put Big Show in, that's fine. But to have Mick Foley do a retirement match and then come back to fight at WrestleMania the next month. And then be eliminated
especially
like
after that,
3 minutes into the match.
Especially after that retirement, because it was such, like, the retirement match itself was fucking awesome, and it was such a, like, sad moment when he finally left.
And it was the way he should have went out. You know, mm-hmm. bloodied up, did everything he possibly fucking could in that match, and they botched it by having him going into there where he messed up his elbow drop and came a couple feet short.
Sean mentions a good one, which was the Mania that had fucking Mysterio, Orton, and Kurt Angle.
Oh, that was 22.
Because, like, some of the material in that was fucking god-awful.
Wasn't that the one where it was, like, Eddie's in Hell?
See, I never actually minded that so much, but it was cheesy as fuck.
I remember, like, the one thing I remember from 22 was, I think, Rey Mysterio was trying to do 619s off the turn. Not the turnbuckle, but just the corner post, and he fucked up and he fell on his face. That's like the only thing I remember from 22.
Oh yeah, I mean,
oh god, that was that fucking awful Undertaker versus Mark Henry match.
How about
was that a casket match?
How about 29?
Yeah, well, you weren't actually there, so you tell
well,
us.
I mean, well, that doesn't have anything to do with the build.
Well,
that,
I know.
That build just, like, was Rock Cena 2, where neither of them did anything for that match.
What do you mean? What do you mean? It was just the same promo that they put on each week. I went to a Raw before, like one of the Raws before Mania that year, and it was the beginning of the Taker Punk feud because it was when Paul Bearer died. And other than that, I don't recall a single thing. And Cena and Rock weren't there. They just showed promos of them, and that really pissed me off that they didn't show up to that because that was actually one of the few things I looked forward to when I went
to that
show.
I'd actually give the worst build to 29 if you think about it. Cena versus Rock, Nothing there. Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. We was already sick of that feud when it started.
Shield had a meaningless six-man tag with three random fucking stars. And the whole point of that match ended up being another fucking Big Show turn.
The Del Rio Jack Swagger thing might have been the most interesting thing that they had going into it. Too bad Jack Swagger fucked it up.
Now I'm just going to go ahead and say Punk versus Undertaker's feud sucked. The match was good.
Yeah, it's so overrated. A lot of people think that one was great. I hated that build.
I liked the build for that because I liked how they incorporated Paul Bearer's death into it. I mean, obviously, I don't wish Paul Bearer, you know, to have died around that time, but they were able to take a negative and turn it into a positive, I think.
Wow.
But the weirdest thing when it comes to WrestleMania 29 that really showcases how lackluster the build was, do you remember when we were in the parking lot and we were trying to film different people and stuff, the thing that people were doing the most out of anything? Fandango. Yes. People cared more about doing an impression of that than they did talking about Cena and Rock.
Yo, they did.
That's your main event of the fucking night. And your other world title match is the one that just has like no entrance and shit. This was a huge bomb, and WrestleMania 29 was terrible in comparison to this build. I mean, at the very least, this WrestleMania has, you know, it's got some flaws and stuff going into it. It's certainly not perfect. They could be doing a lot of things better, but you've got a match that seems like it could be a big game changer in the world title match. You've got an interesting mid-card couple of matches that are trying to do something maybe a little bit different. They might kind of fall on their face. They might succeed. That's, you know, yet to be seen. But they're taking other negatives and turning them into other positives. I mean, you can throw a lot of these people to the wolves and just not have a match with them, or you can throw them into, you know, a fun intercontinental title match. And instead of just having multiple pairings of, like, why doesn't Stardust face Dean Ambrose this week and Ziggler can fight Luke Harper, they're doing this idea of stealing the belts. And it's, you know, R-Truth hasn't been relevant in like 3 fucking years, and now he is.
All right, R-Truth, we got some of you. You're going to be a thief.
Yeah.
No. They were just like, you're going to be black. That's what they essentially told
them. You think you could do some black dancing
things? You're going to jive for us?
R-Truth, I got something for you. What's
up? We got a good friend, Dane Quinn, tweeting at us. He's saying, at Raw post show, I was at WrestleMania 29 with Tony, and the crowd was dead for Cena Rock 2. I was there as well, and same thing for me in the section I was in. They did not give a shit. No matter how many reversals to their finishers they did, no one got it.
Sad part is, if it was Rock and Austin doing those finishers, the fans would be fucking jacking off in the audience.
Well, Cena is no Austin. Yeah.
True that.
I actually just watched WrestleMania 19 because we did a poll in our Mega Maniacs Facebook group, which if you are listening, you have not joined our Mega Maniacs Facebook group, you should do that. We always have things going on in there. You could participate in continuing the conversation going all week. I dropped a poll there asking people what their favorite WrestleMania was, and 19 actually got the most votes by a decent amount. So I decided to look back and watch that and see what the big deal was to everybody. And yeah, it's a damn good show. Damn good show.
It's a damn good show.
And Rock and Austin 3 is definitely one of the highlights on there. And, you know, I didn't. Am I the only one who didn't know that that was Austin's last match at the time?
I didn't know it was going to be his last match. They kept it very quiet.
The way they presented it is like everyone should have known.
Apparently, like Austin during the week of that pay-per-view was meant to have passed out or something, or had something seriously go wrong with him. They didn't think he'd actually make the match, so. I guess it was fitting that it'd be his last match. He was obviously in poor health.
I remember watching, I think it was their Greatest Rivalries DVD, where Rock talks about how at the end of the match, he goes over to Stone Cold, and he just gives this parting message where he's like, I can never thank you for everything you've done for me in my career. I hope everything goes well for you. I love you. And then, like, gives him a kiss on the cheek and then, like, goes and does his celebrating. And I definitely never noticed that. But this time I specifically watched back for it. And you could see, like, he kind of tries to avoid the camera while he's doing it, too. But you could see him clearly, like, talking to Stone Cold and embracing him in a way. And it's, like, really touching moment when you think about those guys' careers and how they went and the sad way it went out for both of them, really.
Funny story about that. He actually whispered something else to him. He went, promise me you don't have any more matches unless it's against Alex Riley.
And then he said, Hail Hydra.
There was a funny thing about that, though. Like, they both had an interview where that where the interviewer brought that up, and he brings it up to Austin. He's like, so what was the thing that the Rock whispered to you? And he's like, oh, nothing. That's just something in between, like, between me and Rock. And then the Rock comes out and he interviews him. Oh, yeah, this is what I
Can I mention something about that that Facebook poll you posted, Peyton? Good. If you like, a lot of people tend to complain that the most recent WrestleMania is essentially everyone since 20. At least a lot of smart fans will say that they haven't been as good. But I think this poll is a good example. Other than 19, most of the WrestleManias that you've posted, other than WrestleMania 9, 8, and I think 18 and 12, a lot of them were in the 20s, and there's also 30. And I think the second and third place ones were 24 and 30, mm-hmm. which are two of my favorite manias as well. So, fun fact.
A lot of the people in our group are also younger.
Yeah, I didn't take that into consideration. I think Brian I think most and of the people, Ferris are two of the...
Yeah, I think we had a number of people who said 24 was the first one they ever watched, and for me to think of that as...
I think 20 was the first one I watched. 24 is my favorite to go back and watch, mainly because everything on that show was actually really good for once in a blue moon.
I mean, it's amazing. I'm a wrestling fan. I think my first Mania was 13.
I got two feet by one. Mine was 12.
Mine was 12 too. And I remember that old box set where it went all the way up to 12, and it was just like you could get all 12 WrestleManias, and you're like, oh, I could never watch this much.
I never bought a box set because my friend brought 120, and then they're like, ah, here's one with 21. God damn it.
Yeah, everyone in the chat room, put what your first WrestleMania was. Brian the Brain, Brian, I guess. Brian the Brain's got us all beat. I guess he's been there since number one.
So, wait, Brian, what is your favorite Mania?
Yeah, that's a good question, Brian. You're the authority of seeing every single WrestleMania as it's unfolded. You know all the builds. What do you think was the best build for WrestleMania, and what do you think was the best WrestleMania of all time? So drop
it. He said Starrcade 1997.
You beat me to that joke. I was going to say, if you say Starrcade, it doesn't count.
In the meantime, while chat room's getting those in there, we're going to go ahead and take our first caller, taking them on a few minutes late. We apologize, guys, but let's get you in here. Our first caller is phoning in from the 540. Never know who it's going to be. Actually, they're pretty consistent. It's our good friend, Jeff. Jeff, you there, bud?
What's up?
Hey.
How you doing tonight, bro? What's that?
I said, how y'all doing?
Oh, we're all tremendous, man. What'd you think about Raw tonight?
Well, what did I think about, man? Let's see. Well, you might as well have to call me Psychic John, because I knew something big was going to happen at the main event. I mean, Psychic Jeff, because something was happened at the main event. You might as well call me a psychic now.
Well, I'm not going to call you John. That's a stupid name.
Yeah, you're definitely a psycho. So what happened... What are you thinking about this build so far, Jeff? Because that's what we've been spending more time talking about than specifically things about Raw. Like, this build to WrestleMania has been a controversial thing with people. Where are you sitting on? Are you excited for WrestleMania? What's sticking out to you with it?
I am very excited for WrestleMania because we got Sting versus Triple H. We have The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. And we got Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. That's something I'm going to get to here in a minute. But for now, I want to talk about Sting versus Triple H.
Okay.
I mean, here we go with Monday Night Raw. We kicked off the show with the Authority. Seth Rollins, the little bitch boy, as JD likes to mention, JD says, and Big Show and Kane and Noble and Mercury, they were like, oh, Seth, we're sorry, we left you behind. And then they kiss, make up. Randy Orton shows up, asks for a match against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Rollins says yes, under one condition, though. He challenges him to a match at Monday Night Raw on Raw tonight. And Vince, we have the match, okay? Mm-hmm. And before that match happens, Rollins Big Show and Kane are like, no, I'm going to be in Rollins' corner. They're like little girls. And then Kane says, Rollins, you're going to have to do this on your own. And then Mercury and Noble are like, we quit. We don't want to be in your corner tonight.
Yeah.
So then we get to the match.
Man.
So then we get to the match. Rollins gets on the mic as usual and says that I'm going to enjoy planning. I've been planning this for 3 hours. Then cue Triple H's music. The authority comes out. And
surprise, and motherfucker.
And Randy Orton has that steel chair in hand. Damn. Authority comes in the ring and then lights go out. Sting arrives.
Sting.
My God! My God, it's Sting! And then Sting and Orton beat the hell out of the Authority. And, man, let me tell you, nothing made me more happy to see Sting on Monday Night Raw. Nothing.
I could think a few things that would have made me happier.
Nothing made me more excited to see Sting here on Monday Night Raw.
Indeed. So, what is this the match you're most excited for WrestleMania? Is Triple H and Sting?
That's the match I'm definitely most looking forward to this match because it's been a long time. I didn't think we would see this match, but I'm glad I'm going to get to see it on the WWE Network.
Indeed. So what match are you least excited for? What match have they done the worst job of getting you into for WrestleMania?
I think the worst job is Reigns versus Lesnar.
That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, Jeff, we're going to move on to our next caller. But before we do, you know, we like to ask for high point, low point.
Oh, you know my high point, Sting coming to Monday Night Raw. Oh, the low point, I have to say, is Brock Lesnar's inappropriate language, too.
Oh, potty mouth on Brocky.
Yes, of course. All right, guys, well, have a good night, and
indeed. You have a good night, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Hang on. He calls into this fucking show and he hates swearing? What the fuck's wrong with him?
Yeah, fuck.
I don't think he ever curses. JD does. JD's got the potty mouth.
Well, to be fair, there are a lot of butt boys out there.
There are a lot of butt boys and a lot of people sucking Seth Rollins off.
Yep.
All right, so let me go ahead. We should just go ahead and bring on our next caller here. Actually, we got a tweet here. Let me see what this guy is saying to us. I don't know how Triple H versus Sting is 14 years in the making. You guys agree with that? That's how they're really touting this match. Do you see this match as 14 years in the making?
No, because I have never once gone, man, you know what WCW wrestler would be cool to come to WWE, Sting. And you know who we should face? One of the greats, Triple H. No, the guys you wanted to see him face were either The Undertaker or Steve Austin or The Rock.
I would throw Shawn Michaels in there.
Maybe, but... Yeah, not sure. It's like... I always compare the Attitude Era stars to the WCW big stars, because that's the war and the dream match.
Shawn Michaels and Sting go back to the 80s, dude.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but that's actually when Sting could wrestle better, too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I want Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels against Surfer Sting. That's what I want to see.
Okay, against, like, Crow Sting, I don't think I'd enjoy the build for that.
See, and then you can just pair them up, and since Triple H used to be partnered up with Shawn Michaels, and Ultimate Warrior used to be paired up with Sting, you can just have that WrestleMania match where Triple H gets his ass kicked by Ultimate Warrior again.
Hmm.
All works out.
All right, well, let's go ahead and bring our next caller from the 646. I believe this is our friend Aisha. Aisha, is that you there?
Yes, it's me, guys. What's up?
We're all doing absolutely tremendous. How are you doing, Aisha?
Oh, I am doing good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, just...
You've heard us talking all night about Raw and the build to WrestleMania. What's on your mind after hearing us rant about all that?
Oh, man, this build is terrible. Oh. God. I mean, is it me? It's kind of, I don't want to say it's going to be bad as WrestleMania 27, but, like, ooh, like to me, like, WrestleMania 31 looks like WrestleMania 20 to me because it's everybody getting on the freaking card. So, it's just, this is disappointing. The main event is a flop. We got the Steiner match for no apparent reason. The Andre Battle Royals, whatever. We got a Pointless Divas match. Sting and Triple H should not be fighting. Bray Wyatt Undertaker should not happen because it should happen last year. What else we got on the second card? I don't know. This is a bad build up.
It is. You bring up a good one, by the way. We were thinking of bad builds. 27 was not all that great. I do like the Ascension of the Miz, but the problem was that the build focused too much on John Cena and The Rock.
And not enough on Riley's bizarre jacket.
Yeah, you know what I feel like this WrestleMania is building up to WrestleMania 32. Like, have you noticed, like, every even WrestleMania is, like, better than the odds?
I believe Drew White brought up that very same point very recently. Yeah, that's something I had noticed. That only, you know, recently. It wasn't always that way. It was, like, what, since, like, 24, I think that's been the trend? Right?
What, like, every odd number, like, it feels like it's a filler? Yep. Pay-per-view or main event. Yeah, it's been like that at least since 24. 23 was only good because of the main event and
the fucking
what would it be? Yeah, other than that, I really can't. Like, 25, 27, and 29 have been kind of disappointed.
25 is might be the worst WrestleMania of all time.
Despite the fact that it has the best Mania match of all time.
Isn't it funny how it works out that way?
Shit, look at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
What about them? You think they're bad?
No, the even an odd thing.
Oh.
9, not a great WrestleMania. 10, great matches on that card. I think 9 is
overhated.
11? 11 is... 12, you got the Iron Man match. 13, we were just running that down earlier. 14 is actually not a bad one at all, I think.
What was 14?
14 was... what's his name? Austin and Michaels.
Oh, yes.
Kane.
Yes.
Kane and Undertaker.
Oh, the undercard in that fucking sucked, though.
You know what? Looking at 25, there's no reason this card should have sucked.
Oh, but it did. It did. Like,
it should have been good.
I got two words for you, my friend. Kid Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry.
Like, even the... Like, Jericho vs. the Legends was even good on that. I don't know why that card stunk up so much.
Another point you had brought up was the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. It's okay, you said. And in my opinion, I think the Andre the Giant Battle Royal has the second most mystique going in it, the first one being the ladder match. How sad is that?
Yeah.
These two, like, filler cards where you're just filling up with mid-carders are more interesting and have more mystique going around them than your three main event feuds.
Yeah, I like how they're putting more effort on the mid cards where your marketable matches you should put more effort on, but hey, it's WWE. It's like they always fuck up every time, so.
What, if there's anything you have to say, is your most exciting match they got for you going into WrestleMania, what would it be?
Oh, God. I guess the ladder match, because I already know it's just going to be a fuck. Spot fest, and I like spot fest matches.
But yeah, but are so you liking the whole, like, work. Let's steal each other's title thing? Is that doing it for you? Because I think it's kind of awkward. Like, what are they really getting out of this, of just taking the title and walking around with it?
Yeah, this feels like when they did, like, that hardcore title back in the Attitude Era thing. It just feels just like this. But modern. It's silly.
Well, before we move on to high point, low point, is there anything else that's on your mind from the show tonight?
I definitely like that main event. nice to see Sting coming out. I thought it was funny because Randy Orton was looking at him like...
Randy Orton's facial expression was fantastic. It's about time that Sting has showed up on Raw itself. Is this the first time? Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first actual time we've seen him on Raw? Oh, no, didn't he come out and, like, cause, like, a distraction for a roll-up or something?
Yeah, it was, like, when John Cena won Bring Back Ryback and Dolph Ziggler
that's right.
To get the drop back. Yeah. Yeah, this is the most notable thing that since TNA Sting ever did. So he's doing great things.
Shout out to Silent One of Doom in the chat room saying three of the hottest names from the last year are stuck in a mid-card match. Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler. It's a very good point.
Not everyone could be in the main event.
Yeah.
No, but does it have to be Brock Lesnar, Bray Wyatt, Undertaker?
To be fair, I don't think Bray Wyatt should be facing the Undertaker. I wish Bray Wyatt never really existed. To be quite
you wish frank. He was never been born. You wish he died in the womb.
I really wish he would have. Or since Husky Harris. I don't know. So other people could have filled the void. If Undertaker wasn't going to show up at all, they could have done this thing with Bryan where he couldn't get in the match at Mania. And then during Mania, the Undertaker comes out and just has an impromptu match with him. They could have done that. I would have taken that over this build with Taker and Wyatt because, God, I hate Wyatt so much.
God.
I don't know if I said that enough.
We all said it enough times. Aisha, your high point, low point for tonight's Raw?
High point, definitely the main event, and low point, what can I remember? Sometimes I just can't remember what happened on this show. just how much that this show lags so many times. Oh, God. I don't even remember.
Well, all right then. Well, it's always good to hear from you every week, Aisha. Yeah. We're 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. How are you going to be watching WrestleMania?
I'm on the WWE Network, hoping probably be by myself because my family's not that into wrestling, so I'm going to be a Warner in WrestleMania.
Aww. No, I feel your pain. I remember last year when I watched Mania, my family like watched like the first hour of it, and they thought I was a fucking loser.
Aww.
Yeah. I know. It sucks.
I at least have friends who come over and pretend they're interested and watch it with me.
No, my friends. No, I have a couple friends who will sit down and watch it with me, but Kyle, but other than that, no. My friends hate it.
Why don't you invite over AJ? I hear he's a nice boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Aisha, we appreciate you calling, and you have a good night.
Well, you too, guys.
All right. I had another tweet here I believe I wanted to read. Dane Quinn. Telling us that at Raw Post Show, WrestleMania 9 had Doink the Clown versus Crush. Classic.
That was the one with the leg, right? He's using a fake leg all the time.
Wasn't that at WrestleMania 10? That was Crush versus Macho Man.
WrestleMania 10.
That was that match they were using the fake leg. Because then they take it off of Mad Dog Vachon.
No, I thought that Doink was using a fake leg.
Oh, was he? No, it was a fake arm.
Yeah.
That's right. He had his arm in a sling, and it was a fake arm.
And so 2 years in a row, they did a fake appendage?
Yeah, I guess they did.
The fuck? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy. So we got...
Luke Harper does have a good super kick.
Super kick? You mean the
big
boot?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
I don't know. Talk about it in the chat. I like his super kick.
Indeed. All right, so we got another call on the line. I'm going to ask if they hold on for just 1 second. I want to start our actual Raw review, and I want to do the first segment. And I want to actually touch on every segment of the show, even if it's just quick going through it. But I want to bring up each thing, because we haven't done that in a while. Our opening segment is a promo. Big surprise.
Ooh.
Seth Rollins is in the ring. He has Big Show, Kane, J&J Security tagged along with him. He does some good like local heat building things, telling the crowd they don't know what betrayal is because you have to be somebody to know what that is, and they'll never be somebody unlike him because he's the only person who ever made it out of Iowa. Believe that's his hometown, so you know, yep. Typically you're going to get cheered in your hometown. You really got to work extra hard to get them to boo you, so credits to Seth for being able to pull that off.
No, not very many people can do that. I mean, you know, you go to Chicago, Punk is always going to get cheered in, I believe, in Cleveland area at least. You
and
know,
forget if Flair Ziggler's is in the Carolinas.
Yeah, but, you know, just you're a good heel, even in your hometown, where most likely you're going to get cheered. You know, if you get booed, that's when you know you've been doing a good job as a heel.
Well, there's a video of online where, like, Seth teased that he was going to take the Russian flag and, like, do something to it, and then he just started waving it. He's fucking, like, a good heel even on the road, so...
I forget who. I guarantee you once we get to it, there was a heel who always gets booed, but he got cheered really fucking loud, and it's surprised the shit out of me. I forget who it is off the top of my head.
I don't think I got that note, but maybe you'll be reminded of it as we're going through. After Seth does his shtick, he is followed up by everyone else who's there sucking him off, which is probably where he gets the nickname. Every single one of them just praising everything about him and talking about what a bad guy Randy is for turning his back on him. My favorite part of it Joey Mercury was speechless. He couldn't even, he was at loss of words, which they've done this twice now where he wasn't able to speak at all. So it's kind of like becoming his running gimmick. Jamie Noble, when he spoke though, everybody knows that I am the secret weapon of the authority. Fucking Jamie Noble has been some of the best parts of this whole authority angle.
I think he has a weird fucking accent.
Yeah, he's got that hick accent. It's great.
And I love when he said no offense later on in the show. He's like, no offense. Actually, I have it typed out as OFFAAAYNS. No offense.
Couple other notes I had. Seth Rollins doing this whole no sleeves thing. I don't know if I'm really feeling it. Like, he's toned and he's really in shape and all, but it's not like he has like bulging biceps where he needs to rip the sleeves off his shirts.
Yeah, he needs to Shawn Michaels. He needs to Shawn Michaels that shit and just wear a poncho.
Randy Orton comes out eventually, saying that if they have their match at WrestleMania, they have to have a match that night. And Rollins is like, well, what are you going to do when I have all these people at my side and you're going to be screwed or whatever? That's the way they set up their match for later in the night. That was our beginning segment. The main reason I wanted to go into this is I pulled up this fun fact, and I credits to Wrestling Facts on Twitter. And that is this. Every single episode of Raw of 2015 has begun with a promo, 9 of which have been from a member of the Authority. And that number is out of a possible 10 episodes.
Ooh. I remember last year, I forget what show it was, but it started out with a match, and I think we touched about it on the post-show. Like, geez, that caught all of us by surprise. Mm-hmm. Isn't it weird that when you watch a wrestling show and you get wrestling as like the opening thing, it feels weird.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Any other thoughts about this opening segment?
I think it went on a little too long.
Yeah, and I think that's the case for every goddamn opening segment. It gets annoying after a while. Like, if they cut these down by 5 or 10 minutes, you can get to the point and make it so much more meaningful.
Anything else, guys? Drew?
I'm sorry, everyone. That for everyone. Yeah, you did.
All right, so we're going to move along here and take our next caller that we've had here waiting patiently for a couple extra minutes. We appreciate it. They're from the 817 area code. Caller from 817, what's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Brian the Brain.
Brian the Brain. What's Welcome up? Back to the what show, man. Next? We haven't heard your voice in a while. How you doing, dude?
I know. I'm doing good. Had to call in.
Yeah, good to hear. What's on your mind, man? What'd you think about Raw tonight? What are you thinking about the build? That's been the major topic.
The build, I like it. I mean, I know not everybody does, but I'm a wrestling fan of the build, of how they write and what they do to write the matches. And I've actually discussed it with Paul Heyman at one point, you know, how you build a wrestling show. You know, how you do that is you have to write so far in advance. When he was doing ECW, you have to write so far in advance. The way Vince does it, he writes on the fly. And that's why you get the promos you get. That's why you get what you get on Monday night. And that's why some of these manias just don't feel right. They're just writing the night of Raw. That's why it feels so bad, but I love it. I love watching the way they do things. Right now, my favorite build is actually Cena Rusev, not for Cena, just for Rusev. You know, I'm not a Cena fan. I actually like Rusev. I actually hope
they
let him win at Mania. I know they won't, but I hope they do.
I'm actually with you on that, Brian. I think they spent a lot of time investing into Rusev. I think he is more than just another generic foreign villain. I think there's a lot to this guy, and they need to follow up with him. And if they have all this just be another lull, Cena wins type situation, it is a big, big waste.
I think we're on the boat of it. Yeah. We're hoping for the best and expecting the worst, though. Yes. I think that's essentially what we're
doing. Yes. And I'm going to touch more on that when we get actually, to the segment of what they did tonight. But go ahead, Brian.
Not just that, I want Cena to tap out. Not just lose, but tap.
I've actually said the exact same thing. I've actually campaigned for them to do a submission match, so there's no other alternative. He would have to tap out.
Yeah, he would have to. He needs to. I mean, it's just, that's the build. That's the way they should do it. But I just, for some reason, I see Cena with the U.S. title just to make the title more relevant, but I think the title's relevant in Russo's hands. My other favorite build is the IC title. I don't like the whole stealing the title. I just like the people in the match. It's going to be a spot. There's going to be a lot of spots. There's going to be a lot of high-flying action in the ring. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be probably the match of the night.
Yeah, very, very likely with all the people you got involved. Mm-hmm.
Every time they've ever done Money in the Bank or a great IC title match at Mania, it's always been the match of the night. You think back to Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, that was an awesome match. You think of the first Money in the Bank ladder match as an awesome match.
Freaking the Hardys and Edge and Christian and Dudley's matches. Those matches were both amazing.
Exactly. The original TLC, the original ladder matches that they had, that was all greatness. Of course, some do like the Sting Triple H, but I would rather be Sting Undertaker Icon versus Icon. But, you know, we're not going to get that. We might get it next year in Dallas, so please, WWE gods, please listen. I'm going to be there in Dallas if that happens. You know, it will be my third WrestleMania ever where I get to actually see it live in person, and I cannot wait.
Well, if that trend of the odd numbers and even numbers continue, that may be the case. It may be in your favor. Brian, before we move on to our next caller, I want to ask you your high point and low point for the show tonight.
Oh, tonight, the high point, I would say, Sting with Orton in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
The, you know, main event. Small point, no Lana.
Aw.
Stupid. Some guy with a Russian accent out there, no Lana. You've got to have legs. I know she's working on the movie that Dean Ambrose is going to be in or whatever, but still.
I thought it was because we had that other guy there. You've
got to have Lana. Yeah, that sucks. That's the worst thing right there. He was horrible.
All right, Brian. We're going to keep moving along here. You have a good night, dude.
You too, bye.
All right, guys. Let's talk about the next segment that was on the show here. We had a Divas match between AJ Lee and Nikki Bella. First thing I want to mention is that while the Bellas were making their entrance, they had one of those inlay promos, which they had a lot of tonight. But I don't know if that's something they've been doing a lot of lately, and I just didn't notice it, but it seemed like they had, like, six of them tonight, and they were, I like it. You know, it reminds me of something they did a lot in the 90s, and they kind of cut away with, and I remember they brought it back for one of those old-school Raws that they did, and I'm glad that they're making it more of a regular thing again. I think those are a good way to fit in some talking time during a not-important part of the match process. Unless the person has a cool intro. Yeah? No? Okay. Well, yep. What the Bella said in this one specifically was that it wasn't long ago that AJ and Paige were at each other's throats, so there's no way that they can get along now for this match. Weren't the Bellas just at each other's throats too not that long ago?
Yeah, I think we've been saying that.
Blood is thicker than water.
And their heels.
Yeah, their heels.
So, you know, heels are always, like, they'll lose a match and then they'll be like, you know, well, I didn't lose for any, you know, legitimate purposes, where they'll win a match by interference and say they single-handedly beat somebody. You know, they lie all the time. They did have another good line, though, in that, though, where they said, give Divas a chance. How about give us a break?
That was clever.
I like that.
AJ Lee and Nikki Bella was a pretty good match, I actually have to say, as far as they gave him a good amount of time. They went all the way through a commercial break. I can't recall how many times they let the Divas match go through the commercial break. So not only did we see a lot of time on TV, they were still going for another 3 minutes that we didn't see on TV. And I didn't think the match was too bad. There was a few cool spots. AJ sold that rack attack very awesomely, the way her body folded up when she went down. AJ had a really... AJ had an awesome running knee. She did a crossbody. I think she did a dive to the outside at one point, or at least like something off of the apron. I thought they had a pretty decent match, and that, what a surprise. You give these girls some time to go out there, they can actually tell a story and get you interested a little bit for what they have going on at WrestleMania. So, credits to them. I mean, it's not like the top match on the card that I'm excited for, but at least there's something going on here, and at least they were on TV, and they did something. So, kudos to them for at least doing that.
Was this longer than the six-man tag match that they did before the Intercontinental people?
No, that six-man tag was way longer.
Yeah, I couldn't think. I thought for a while that was actually going to be the longest match of the night. If they were able to pull that off, then by God, that gave the Divas a chance thing. Apparently, it actually worked for once. So,
yeah, it was a solid out. It was a solid outing tonight, and that's what they need to do more of. If when given these opportunities, make sure you make big on them. You want them to give Divas a chance? This is exactly what you needed to do tonight.
Give them a reason to want to give you a chance.
Well, they're
which I could argue they never did in the past.
Yeah. You think this is the first good Divas match ever?
No.
No, we don't.
But I can give you good Divas matches. I can give you more shitty ones than I can good ones, and that's an issue.
Yeah, I think it's an issue.
And I can give you more shitty ones than average ones, which is even worse.
I think we could have more shitty ones and, you know, just below average ones, too.
Well, again, an argument can be made that there has something to do with the amount of time and how they've been treated and were told to go out there and be.
Yeah, yeah.
In the end, it always falls on the person's shoulders that's out there, though, so.
I'm trying so hard not to hate that match, but I'm not going to hate it, but I really can't think much of that Divas match. I've tried so hard to actually remember something from it, but I can't.
Well, you obviously weren't watching it the first time. You didn't even know things that happened in it.
No, because I don't remember. I didn't know. Like, it just didn't mean much to me. Like, I watched the match.
Because you obviously don't care about the Divas. You're a sexist pig who does not even want to give the Divas a chance.
I'm not a sexist pig.
Do you think the Divas should just be there to, like, make the men sandwiches? Is that it?
Yes. I didn't say that. You said that. So, please,
anyone out there, get that for the record. So, you definitely agree with it.
As so either you're a Daniel Bryan fan or you hate women?
No, I just think that the talent that they have.
Oh, so you hear that? He's not a Daniel Bryan fan either. Fucking asshole.
I just don't think the talent that they have on the main roster is really up to point. And I think I really hate to say this, but I just like now, and I hate to blame NXT for something that doesn't even mean anything. But what they do down there, I just can't handle it anymore. How I could watch NXT and just be fine with the women's wrestling down there. And there's no point in me watching a Divas match on the main roster because I know it's not going to be as good as that. So why should I even watch it? And I'm not using that as an excuse because I did watch this match tonight.
You don't even watch Raw. We'll just watch pay-per-views. Like, what the fuck is the point of watching Raw if it's going to be a subpar show compared to a pay-per-view?
It was like this. NXT puts on, might have a lot of good things on it, but NXT has had a couple things. They do a couple things wrong. They're human. So I think people overrate NXT as well, because NXT isn't this God Among Men show. I mean, come on, they had Bull Dempsey against Baron Corbin on their last special event that they did. That was fucking terrible. But I'm not trying to blame the Divas, and I'm not trying to say that what they did wasn't good. They didn't do anything memorable. And I think that's what happens. They don't do anything to me that really makes them stand out. And I'm fine with them giving time. It wasn't anything terrible, because if this was a terrible match, I could name things about the match that made it terrible. I just don't think this is anything special. I just think because they gave them more time, I think people will be like, oh, it was a good match because it gave them more time. Yeah, but it's like that with most matches in most cases. What they did out there was okay. I just don't think it was anything special. Like, you mentioned a crossbody. I just don't think crossbodies are anything special anymore.
No, it's not the fact that she did a crossbody. It's the fact that she did a good crossbody. Shawn Michaels, does he just do a fucking kick? Yeah, anybody can do a fucking kick. He does a fucking awesome kick. That's why it's his finisher.
Doesn't do the Steve kick, though.
He doesn't do an awesome kick. I'm pretty sure it's called a super kick.
Yeah. But I just didn't think there was anything special about the match that made that I know you thought it was a good match. I just don't see what you were seeing. And, you know, that just might be a preference of what they did out there. I just didn't think much of it. So I just thought it was okay. I just don't remember much of it. And, you know, they'll most likely surprise me at some point. I just compared to what they do on NXT, just what they did out there tonight, it didn't do anything for me. And that's such a terrible thing to say, because
hashtag it makes me look like a six-pick now. Give Divas a chance, right? I'm going to have to send you to sensitivity training now. This is fucking terrible.
I know.
Come back as Hugh Manitarian.
So he could be Drew Manitarian. The one last thing I wanted to talk about this Divas match topic is, with this match at Mania, since this Divas title's not on the line, there's really nothing going on here. I feel like somebody has to turn on somebody, and I have no idea who. Do you guys agree with me that's how this has to end up, and who do you think it would be?
I'm still waiting for my Bella versus Bella feud, like an actual one that doesn't end just like abruptly because they didn't want to finish it.
I think that ship sailed and all. For any reason that I'd give a shit about that feud, it's officially gone forever.
Well, I'll tell you why they should do it again is because they've got progressively better since that last time they had that feud. Even though it wasn't that long ago, they've improved so much in the last 6 months.
See, here's the kicker when it comes to this. Sasha Banks could very well be coming up in 2015. Charlotte seems like a guarantee. Sasha Banks has to lose the title, you know, she'll be down the line. If Charlotte comes to the main roster as a heel or a babyface, that's going to dictate a whole lot of other people. They've teased the idea that they might turn Emma heel on NXT. And, you know, she could be thrown in the middle of the mix and just, you know, jobbed out on Raw, whatever. They do that all the time. Alicia changes her allegiances constantly. Layla used to when she was around, and she's not, you know, been around for a while. Hell, what's her name? Natalia is basically a heel right now, and she spent most of her career as a babyface for the past couple of years. But if you've got Charlotte coming in as a heel, nobody's turning here, I think, unless maybe it's Brie. But if she comes in as a babyface, then definitely nobody's turning here, because they're going to have Charlotte beat somebody that feuds with Nikki Bella down the line. So if anybody does turn, though, on the babyface side, it's got to be AJ. It can't be Paige. She just came back from a heel, face, heel kind of bunch of switches. AJ's been a babyface for quite a while. Maybe she wants to turn heel. I don't know. But I'm kind of looking at this as more of a pessimistic side of things, that this is just going to be a standard Divas match. And maybe the babyfaces win. Maybe the heels cheat. Maybe they win that way. I don't know. But I could see this being a scenario where Mania is like a non-factor. What happens after Mania is really when this starts to pick up pace.
If that's the case, then you know what I see with this match? Cut.
I don't think they'll cut it.
Okay. I think
they'll cut the time considerably. But I think if they actually cut them from the card, they'd risk a whole bunch of people being like, why do you got to cut the women out? That's the only match that the women are on. Why couldn't you have cut out, you know, the Battle Royal or the Intercontinental title match, or what about this? What about that? You know, the reason that they had the two Divas matches on the card for quite a while was to try to, you know, make it seem like they've got more women that they're showcasing and all that. If they cut the match at all, I would be really surprised.
You think Mania would be a good time to call up a Charlotte and like make it like a surprise debut?
I
don't really know how you would fit her into something like that. I already think she's a night after Mania. That's when she's going
to come. Yeah, the best time to debut someone is the night after Mania. It's like a fresh start on a hot crowd.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So I'm going to go ahead.
That's not even my phone that time.
I don't know who that was, but whatever.
That wasn't me.
Well, all right. Let me fucking continue so we're not spending 5 minutes talking about a buzzing phone. Everyone out there listening, if you want to participate in here with your phone, this is the most interactive post-raw experience available, so we want to hear your voice. Dial in area code 760-512-7247, or press the little Skype icon at the top of the page, or join the chat room where there's lots of cool folks in there. I haven't done a shout-out in a while, so we'll see what we got here. Bogout, Brian the Brain, Creepers on the Radar, Ferris 419, Chaotic, Silent Wind to Doom, and Wazili. Good to have all y'all here with us. Let's go ahead and bring on another caller here. They're calling in from, it says live. I think this might be our good friend Sean. Let's see if we can get him in here. Sean, is that you with us?
Boom. This isn't the old talk show.
No, this isn't the old talk show. This isn't even the Phil Stevenson show. This is the Raw Post show. How you doing, dude?
I am doing well. I am doing well, amigo.
So, we're all this, man. So I know you're probably just going to join us here for the rest of the show, but before we move on with anything else, I want to give you a little bit of time to just catch up. What's on your mind with this show tonight? All right, good input.
It was raw.
It was raw.
Does it feel like WrestleMania season to me?
Nope.
It doesn't really feel like WrestleMania season to me. If anything, it feels like more like, I don't know, fucking Survivor Series season. That's how they're building it to me. I just don't give a shit. The only match I give a shit about is the ladder match. And that's because they're only hot potato in the title at the moment. That's the only reason why I care. If they weren't doing this whole gimmick with the title, I wouldn't give a shit. But, you know, it is what it is.
Indeed. All right. Well, what I think we're going to do is Sean's going to remain on us either, but we're going to go ahead and bring on the other caller we got waiting patiently here on the line. It's our good friend from 412. You know who that is. JD, you there, dude?
Hey, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. What's going on?
Wow, yes. It is officially St. Patrick's Day now that we're after midnight. Happy St. Patrick's Day, JD.
Thank you. What's going on there, guys?
We're all pretty excited to be here, as always. We've been analyzing what went down with Raw tonight and this whole build going into WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was okay. I mean, they had two good matches tonight. The Divas match went 11 minutes long, and, of course, the six-person tag went 17 minutes long. I mean, it was good to see Sting show up at the end of Raw, however, and do what he did. However, sticking it to the Authority once again, I really had a smile across my face about that. And other than that, I mean, it was an average show at best, however, but next week, however, you're going to have to really sell WrestleMania with the Brock Roman, like I said, thing, however, and of course you got the whole Taker Bray Wyatt thing. We'll have to wait and see where they go with that. However, it should be interesting with Snoop Dizzle hosting next week along with Simmons in LA. So they're going to have to do a pretty good show next week. But I think tonight with Sting showing up, power, it was pretty good to do, because if they would have saved it until next week, however, they could have still maybe got people interested in WrestleMania, but they needed something after what happened last week when I went to Raw in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, how was that show for you there? Because, you know, we heard a little bit of what you got to say, but you were on a trolley. It was kind of loud. Now that you had a week to like think back on it, how's it sitting?
It was a little loud. The Heyman promo was fantastic. I thought that came off really well, and I think everyone was talking about that after the show, however. And really, what happened with Randy by giving Seth Rollins the Stone Cold salute, however, shall we say, I think the fans were anticipating that, and that was really good. But other than that, it wasn't a great show. I mean, the only thing that was only really good, however, about the show, however, besides Heyman's promo, however, was that whole tribute to Connor. And I think it was very classy by WWE to honor him and put him into the WWE Hall of Fame.
How was Wiz Khalifa?
Terrible. He looked like he was high. He looked like he was stoned.
I think that there's a decent chance of that.
And I think if I was in the arena, I would have helped him.
Black and yellow.
So I guess we're ready for us.
Indeed. We already got one in the chat room here for you. We've been spending a lot of time talking about WrestleMania because it is the WrestleMania season. So Brian the Brain asks you, what is your favorite WrestleMania?
Probably of all time, I would have to say my favorite WrestleMania would have to be WrestleMania probably number 3, because you had the greatest IC title match at that time in history between Steamboat and Savage. Mm. And, of course, Hogan and Andre. So I'd say WrestleMania 3 is one of my top. And then my second favorite would have to be WrestleMania 17 in Houston.
Now, I'm going to follow up on that one. And I'm going to ask you not what your favorite WrestleMania is, but what was your favorite build to a WrestleMania? Which one do you think had the best leading up to it?
I would have to say probably maybe CM Punk and The Undertaker a couple of years ago. It was fantastic the way Heyman really got under Taker's skin, and especially after Paul Bearer passing away. I mean, Punk had the heel heat tremendous against him in more ways than one.
All right. Creepers Under Radar wanted to know, how was your trolley ride?
It was not that packed, needless to say. I mean, it was just tough, like, going through the places, I mean, from the arena down to the casino where we were at, however, but it wasn't that bad, however, so it was okay for the most part.
Yup7 asks you your least favorite WrestleMania.
I would have to say my least favorite WrestleMania would have to be WrestleMania 9. I mean, you had the whole Bret Hart, Yokozuna thing, and then Hulk Hogan to come in one of his last WrestleManias, and Bret Hart telling him, however, basically to go after the belt, however, this after Bret fought a somewhat okay match against Yokozuna, I would say it was one of my least favorite ones, and I would say WrestleMania 2.
Two, that's a really good one. I can't even think of a damn thing that happened for WrestleMania 2.
Well, it was Hogan and King Kong Bunny in a steel cage, remember? Uh-huh. And that was when Andre won in Chicago, the Battle Royal. And that was also when the Bulldogs had Ozzy Osbourne take on Greg the Hammer, Brutus the Barber, Beefcake.
Silent Wind of Doom, your good friend Silent Wind of Doom, asks JD, how do you think you would fare if you were standing in the path of a running Tensai?
If I was standing, I would probably be bulldozed first, however, and if he was standing, going after him next, however, he would probably knock Silent Wind of Doom and flip him end over end, basically. He would probably run me over like a bull, but he would probably have Silent Wind of Doom go a major flip in the air and land on his back.
All right, one last one from the chat here, and then we'll give the host a chance. Chaotic asks, who is your pick for the IC title?
I'll tell you, I like Dolph Ziggler. I mean, he is my pick to win it all. I think he has to get the belt, and I think this match is going to steal the show at WrestleMania without question.
Oh, by God. Okay, I got to take one more here. By God, asks JD, can you show us on the doll where Bill DeMott touched you?
Why don't you show us, however, because you're the one who probably brought it up in the first place, however. He was the one who touched you.
Oh, you threw it back there. All right, Tony, you got anything for SJD?
Let's see. I got some cookies next to me right now, and people usually go back and forth between what's the best one, Oreos or Chips Ahoy? What do you think?
Digestives.
Oreos, mint chocolate.
Specific.
All right. Wago, SJD.
You like shit biscuits?
Can we get a moo cow for that remark?
There we go.
Wasn't that horse movie with Tobey Maguire, Shit Biscuit?
That sounds like a great one.
He was just him asking me that question was just like what Nick Nolte said in Blue Chips. That was a stupid question. Think of a better question next time.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got for tonight. So,
shoot. I don't get that's a question.
Oh, okay, Drew, go ahead.
What is your favorite Scooby-Doo movie?
You're gonna have a good one this week. What's that?
What's your favorite Scooby-Doo movie? At least one of their specials that they do.
I haven't seen the new WWE one, however, and I haven't seen any of them. I think that deserves another Moo Cow remark, however. There's two tonight that are getting the Moo Cow.
What the fuck? Why does that get a Moo Cow?
That gets a Moo Cow because I don't watch Scooby-Doo. However.
Yeah, Drew, what the fuck? Doesn't watch Scooby-Doo?
With WrestleMania. No, WrestleMania is 12 days away next week.
The real JD watches Scooby-Doo. He said it the on
real
the past episode.
JD, the real JD does not watch the real Scooby Doo. The fake JD probably watches the real Scooby Doo. I'm glad we haven't heard from that little piece of. The real Scooby Doo and the fake one is probably by the fake one because the real JD does not watch the real Scooby Doo at all. He does not watch Scooby Doo as his cartoon. He watches Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes, yes, but he doesn't watch Scooby Doo. Mm.
Question. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Sean.
My mum is out of town for like 3 weeks, right? I was thinking about dyeing my hair pink. What color should I dye my pubes?
Another Moo Cow remark, please.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You're not even going to give the guy a color? Come on.
we're coming up with the most ridiculous questions tonight. Right. I mean, those three questions alone deserve the moot cow. But next week, guys, with the predictions, I'm going to have some good predictions for you guys.
I got one more here from the chat room. Silent Wind the Doom asks, where do you buy your T-shirts from?
You stumped JD. So what was it?
Tell my mom from his mom.
That's me.
She was telling him on the corner, and they were 50% off. They were his kind.
Oh, Silent Wind the Doom asks, why doesn't JD answer the important questions? I thought it was ask JD anything. Yeah,
you punk ass bitch.
He's got you there.
So I answered him. I just said, however, if he wants to know where I bought my T-shirt from, it's from his mom. They were 50% off. They came from his closet.
Holy shit, a sale.
Holy shit. All right.
Yeah.
Well, JD, I think that's all for tonight. So, man, always good to hear from you. We'll see you next week, man.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a good next week, guys, for Snoop Dogg in L.A. And like I said, we got predictions to do for WrestleMania next week. It should be a real good show.
Indeed. All right, man. You have a good night.
Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, fuck me for asking the Scooby-Doo question.
Yeah, Drew, what
shit.
The fuck, Drew? Don't you know any better?
Doesn't he like shit biscuits? You guys love shit biscuits.
Yeah, biscuits are pretty
good. Anybody else get the feeling that was the fake JD?
That's what I was saying. I mean,
who the fuck doesn't like Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, like the real JD would like Scooby-Doo.
At least he would watch the real Scooby-Doo. You know, the fake one might watch the fake Scooby-Doo, but...
Indeed.
See, I'm glad someone else caught onto this.
I was expecting some kind of real Ghostbusters joke to pop out, but never ended up happening. Either way, I think it's fake JD. And I think that Cliff Clofton needs to get on that case.
It has been quiet. He did promise us some type of hard evidence. We haven't gotten anything about that. I mean, we've only gotten one JD, so it's nothing to really think about. But we also should get back to Raw. We had a Big Show and Kane being interviewed by Renee Young in their back. They begin having a disagreement. I forget what it was about. Oh, it was that Kane said Big Show was going to be ringside for Seth Rollins' match, but Big Show was like, well, you didn't talk to me. What the fuck? And they begin bickering like a married couple. Seth Rollins interrupts and tells them that they need to get along. How stupid can you guys be? And that's where he crosses the line. Kane says that both of them are not going to end up being in Seth's corner. Already setting up that, Seth Rollins is looking like he's going to be shit out of luck later for the night. We'll follow up that one a little bit more as we get into the final segment. We had a match between Ryback and The Miz. Really not much going on for this match here. Ryback wins via shell shock. The important thing to talk about is after the match, where we finally saw The Miz take out his frustration, turning on Mizdow, hitting him with a skull-crushing finale. This thing's finally hit the high gear, guys. We're finally seeing things get physical. How does this conclude? What are you guys thinking about it? How are we moving forward?
I believe the Mizdow throws out The Miz, and that's about it. I think they're going to fuck this feud up. At the most, they might give us a match at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good thing like that. Anything else anyone wants to add?
Very much agreed.
Final two.
Do you think it'll be the final two?
Battle Royal, I'm at. And it's Miz and Extreme Rules match.
Good.
Probably a Cheers match.
Oh, great. Tony, what'd you say?
Pretty much exactly what Wigo had said. I don't know if they'll completely fuck it up, but this should have been a WrestleMania match, I think. We're, at the very least, a Fastlane match. And I did like the idea that they threw Ryback a bone here and had him be the one that beat...
the big guy got a bone.
Have him beat The Miz, you know, it makes Miz not look that bad. I mean, Ryback's a big guy, and he's the big guy, you know, technically. Ryback's been losing way too many matches and stuff, so it's good to see him win a match. And these two are both in the Battle Royal, so two more people that, you know, maybe something will come out at the match itself. Probably not, but I don't know if these two for Miz and Mizdow are going to be the final two, but obviously Miz has to be eliminated by Mizdow. I mean, that's a guarantee. If they don't do that, then they're idiots. But
the only other way that I'm okay with it is if he throws the Mizdow out and then, say, Mizdow distracts him and Sheamus boots him over the top rope.
Or if Mizdow throws Miz over, Miz somehow screws Ms. Dow, and then somebody else ends up winning.
Or if Ms. Dow throws...
Yeah, he pulls him over Hulk Hogan style or something.
Or if Ms. Dow throws Miz over, and then just as a natural reaction, he throws himself out because he still thinks he's doing the stunt double gimmick.
They really missed an opportunity with that. I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, why they didn't have like that happen at the Rumble is beyond me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they wanted to do the Titus O'Neil quick thing.
Yeah, so important. Know.
You know what would have been big see, for nothing, wasn't even better. O'Neil. You know how they had that spot where Big Show got suplexed over by Benoit? Mm-hmm. They could have done that with the Miz and had Miz Dow on the apron, like hanging himself upside down, waiting to be tipped over.
We had a contract signing tonight for the U.S. title match with John Cena and Rusev. John Cena was out first, being boring as fuck. I mean, this was like bottom of the barrel John Cena, wasting time out there. I never thought I'd be so happy for Rusev to come out. And he came out with a very different look. He was in a full suit, wearing shoes. I thought it would have been hilarious if he was wearing the suit without actually wearing shoes, too. And he's not with Lana. He's with some weird dude. Some really pale dude with yellow sunglasses. My, Lana, you changed quite a bit. I guess they were trying to... He's supposed to be some kind of like lawyer-type role. I don't know what it was. But he said that the Rusev never agreed to the match, that it's not official. He's not going to sign it unless Rusev gets to read a prepared statement where Rusev continued to just call America names. He's like a five-year-old talking about America. He made a funny botch during it where he said WW Fastlane. It's not what it is. Right? Yeah. Whatever. This whole thing ends with Rusev flipping the table. Typical angry guy. Flip the table, I'm mad as hell. And then running out of the ring. This is fine. I mean, this is what you do with a contract signing for this kind of thing. I mean, they're...
No, it's not. You don't bring out a guy that can't do a Russian accent. That was fucking abysmal.
It's just fine. This was cheesy wrestling stuff. I like this. I think the worst part was the Cena bit.
Do you think the accent was intentional? Yes. The accent.
With
JBL called him out.
Yeah, with how much the commentators called it out, I think it had to be on purpose because he was supposed to be a fraud.
Unless Vince was like, "What the fuck?" on the on the commentary and just started telling him to insult.
No, I think it was supposed to be obviously a fraud. I think it's part of the shtick of it. You know, as far as what their plans are for what they're doing with this match going forward, pretty much either way, if Cena is winning this match and he has to overcome all these odds, then they're doing this the exact right way. If Rusev is going over, it's making him look like he's more clever and getting the upper hand on John Cena. So they're doing it the right way. This is being done just fine. I have no complaints about how they're building this match out of all of them.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I don't have anything to complain about this match at all. I just know that they're going to fuck up the outcome, which I don't want them to do.
It's not the build of the match I have a problem with. It's the likely outcome.
Yes, that's essentially what it is. I mean, I really hope that they're going to pull a fast lane, a double fastball.
Yeah, I really hope they're going to pull a fast lane and have Rusev win.
Yeah, I really, really hope that they don't give Cena the win. I think Cena could win the title off him down the line, but he needs to win, keep that title for now. It's just going to completely destroy the character if Lil Cena wins happens. And that's what I'm really disappointed about.
There's only one situation where I'm okay with Cena winning the championship at WrestleMania. He retires that fucker and I never have to see that damn belt again.
See, here's something that I didn't really take into account right now. Not until right now. We can kind of assume Undertaker is going to win, right?
I'd say it's
not a guarantee, but
I'm on the fence.
I'm on the fence. It's not 50-50. It's like 80-20.
Here's the thing. It would be stupid to have this guy be able to defeat everyone at WrestleMania and then it's like, oh, lost. Just a suck now.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Undertaker wins, we can be pretty sure that Sting is going to win too, right? We can be pretty sure that Roman Reigns is going to win. We're really going to have John Cena win too, and the four biggest matches are just going to be the babyfaces winning?
That's what WrestleMania is supposed to be, right, Wager?
Yeah, that's what it's kind of meant to... Yeah, you're meant to have the feel-good stories, at least in the main event. So
yeah, but I don't know if they are going to do all four of them because they haven't really done that as much in the past.
What if Brock wins? If that's the case,
I think that's the second least likely.
I do think he's staying with the company, though.
I don't know, any other thoughts on this contract signing we had tonight?
I personally didn't get into it. I'm glad the crowd's into it, though. The crowd was generally pretty hot tonight, so hats off to them. Too many places are way quiet. As far as this whole segment goes, it was cheesy, like you mentioned. I think that's the reason I couldn't get into it. If this was in the 80s, 90s, it'd be golden. I just think I'm numb to it at this point. So that's kind of the issue when you're a longtime wrestling fan. You've seen it all, and you can see where it's going.
Indeed. Sean, we got you back on with us here, right? Johnny, your boy.
Happy days, guys. Happy days.
No problem. What did you think about the contract signing tonight?
I don't know if you can hear a loud buzzer noise over my mic, but I don't fucking know.
I don't hear it.
You watching the buzzer show?
Oh.
Your buzzer show.
Sean, what did you think about...
Follow the buzzers.
What did you think about the U.S. title match tonight?
The what match?
Oh, no, the U.S. title. The U.S. title match contract signing that we had tonight between Rusev and Cena.
Ugh.
That good, huh?
When are we gonna see one of these things go successful? That's what I want to know.
I thought it was cool.
It always ends with a table flip. I feel sorry for these poor table manufacturers, you know? They put the tables out there and they end up getting flipped. Like, that's not what a table's supposed to be. Tables there, it's supposed to hold surfaces.
To be fair, especially when I get a contract for the Spanish announcers, they're like, well, we don't even need to make this.
I was disappointed that the guy in the glasses didn't get put through the table.
You think he was an indie guy?
Yeah, definitely.
One of those guys who just...
If he's an indie guy, he should stop doing that. I look like I could beat that guy's ass.
I guarantee he ain't in NXT anymore if he was.
You know who would have been much better for that? That Jester kid. He's got tons of wrestling.
I hear he's got a bright future.
Yeah. From Hall of Famer Larry Zbysko. Hey, we got another caller on the line here. Actually, it looks like it's JD calling back in. I wonder what he has to say. JD, you there, bud?
Yeah, hey, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for finally taking my call, however.
Finally? Weren't you already on before?
No, I'm afraid that was the imposter again. However, I was sitting on the line waiting to talk to you guys the whole time, just getting angrier and angrier.
Hey, JD.
Pulling the wool over your eyes, however. Yeah.
At least I was there for you. I was the first one to go, hey, guys, this might be the fake one. I know you, man.
Oh, I heard that wake up. Thanks, however. I appreciate that.
I am so fucking confused.
Exactly, however. Well, you see, it must have been Silent Wind of Doom or one of his bitch boy goons calling in, however. You know, just like Seth Suck Me Off Rollins every week, gets his little bitch boys to do everything for him, however. And it's just one of those things that makes me sick. You guys can't tell the difference between us anymore. I've been calling into your show for over a year now, however, and it's like you can't even tell the difference between a fake imposter and the real JD. He was calling Time Cow Moo Cow. We're talking about a Hall of Fame inducted entity here. He was calling it Moo Cow. It's Time Cow. I know that because I've been calling into the show for over a year, however.
Oh, so you listen to Smack Talk, Tim?
Sorry?
Yes, if you listen to Smack Talk, too.
Smack Talk? Oh, yes, all the time. You know, I'm always been a big fan. You know, I do have a lot of work calling into all the other shows before I call into your show, so I don't get a chance to listen to as much as I'd like to. But I do like to call in whenever I can, however, and listen to the Smack Talk, however.
Indeed.
Exactly.
So, I guess we got the fake JD.
Basically, the other JD stole my thunder tonight. He stole my thunder, however. So, basically, everything that I was going to talk about, he kind of talked about. However, except the one thing that really pissed me off more than anything tonight, however, was the Scooby-Doo. How dare he, however? How dare he talk bad about Scooby-Doo?
Fucking bullshit!
I'm with you,
exactly,
man.
Exactly, it is. Aren't you
kidding? That's awful.
That's right.
Well, we asked JD before, the fake JD. Let's get the real JD. What's your favorite WrestleMania of all time, and what's your favorite build to a WrestleMania?
Favorite WrestleMania of all time, I'd probably have to say 3 was good, however. 13 was good. I'd have to say, overall, my favorite is probably 24.
Wow. Good choice. Good choice. You know what? We have to get a good like live recap of your time at Raw last week. So how was that experience?
It was exciting. However, the most important thing was the trolley ride home. People around the trolley with me didn't really know much about Raw. So I thought I'd be a nice guy and tell them all about it. You know, I called you guys up from the trolley and I was telling you all about it and being loud. And I figured everybody else would want to hear about it. I told the bus driver, the trolley driver, he had never heard about what a little bitch boy that Seth Rollins was. He's like, who's Seth Rollins, however? And I'm like, all right, let me tell you about it. So I told him all about the penis boy and the butt boys.
Did you tell about the
and,
penis pics?
I basically wised everyone up there, however.
Wow.
Yes, yeah, I pulled it up on my phone. I said, you know, this is why they call him Suck Me Off, right here. And I showed them all the picture on my phone. And then they, then for some reason, they all stopped talking to me, however. I guess they were intimidated by my wealth of wrestling knowledge, however, that they just didn't even know what to say at that point. And then they all stopped talking to me. It does suck to be them. It just makes me sick, however.
What is your major malfunction, Numbnut?
My major malfunction is Silent Wind of Doom and his goon butt boys all the time. We need to get to the bottom of this. You need to call that Clifford or whatever his name is. You need to have him working on his case. Yes, yes. We need to get Clifford the Big Red Dog working on this, however, and get his snout in there sniffing out all the clues like Blue's Clues and find out what's going on with this fake JD.
Take a bite out of the fake
this
JD.
This imposter is bullshit.
What's up with all the cartoon dog talk tonight?
That is a funny theme that we got going on here. JD, your high point and low point for Raw tonight?
My high point is probably I liked the match with the six-man tag, Daniel Bryan. That was a good match. My low point, well, also, you got to give the props to the best talker in the business, Paul Heyman, however. You know, his promos are always great. But the low point I'd happily have to give to the segment of John Cena and Rusev, however. You know, the guy with the fake accent was really terrible, however. And it's one of those things where if you can't have Lana out there, and, you know, you can't even say the name of the company, the WW Fastlane, however. It's one of those things where if you're not going to do it right, don't do it. And they completely screwed it up, however, and it made me sick. And I hate Rusev. He needs to go back to where he came from, Bulgaria or Russia or wherever the hell he's from. He needs to take his little bimbo whore Lana with him. At least she's already gone. So they need to have John Cena go clean over Rusev at WrestleMania, however, and then they can just completely write Rusev off TV forever, however.
All right, we're going to do one quick Ask JD here because we don't got much time left on the show. We've got a lot here to cover. But Silent Wind of Doom, your good friend, asks you, where do you get your T-shirts?
Where do I get my T-shirts? You know, that's very funny, Silent Wind of Doom. You ask me that every week, and you know where I get them? On your mom's floor. That's where I get them, however. For half off, half price, on your mom's floor.
All right.
Because it's funnier every time I say it every
by
week.
By God, asks real JD, can you show us on the doll where Build 'Em Up put the donut?
Again, this is another time cow. We're going to need the time cow on this one. It's not the moo cow. It's the time cow. Thank you, and that's what you get for asking a stupid question like that. However,
all right, JD, good to actually hear from you this time. I mean, it's been a weird experience. I mean, hopefully this whole thing can get straightened out before WrestleMania. We can stop having these imposters call on because it's really interruptive to the show. We only have so much precious time here to have callers on, and we want to treat our longest caller with respect, you know.
Oh, thank you very much, Michael. You know, I appreciate it, however. It's one of those things where it's going against the integrity of the show, however. It's mm-hmm. You know, he's not respecting the show and the work that you guys put into it. You know, he's not even taking it seriously. I take this show seriously. The other six shows that I call in before I call into your show, I take those seriously too, however. But I want to make sure that I give you my full, unadulterated, honest opinions every week, however.
Oh, well, thanks, JD. So we'll talk to you next week then. You have a good night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Huh. Well, so how you guys doing?
We're in an awkward spot. We took a fake JD's call again.
Yeah.
What other cartoon dogs can we talk about?
Got our face this time. How about
Huckleberry Hound?
Huckleberry Hound's a good one. Oh, my darling.
Is the name of that one that is always kind of like talking like Drew's phone.
What about Droopy?
That's it. Excuse me, sir. I'm Droopy. I'm also Drew's
what
phone.
What floor are you going to, sir?
Yeah.
It's a Roger Rabbit reference, if you haven't seen that movie. Fantastic one. Probably a few dogs in that one. Pluto. Not just a planet, even though it's not a planet anymore. Hey, Drew. When you think of Pluto, do you think of it as a planet?
I think of it as a dog.
Well, no, I mean, like, the actual
yeah, thing. Planet. It was a planet when I was in first.
Yeah, well, I want to know, like, when it stopped. Like, because for me, like, a good amount of my learning life, it was still a planet. And then, like, after I graduated, I think is when they decided not to be a planet anymore.
I think it decided it wasn't a planet when I was in fourth or fifth grade. Holy shit. It was around
my field. Yeah, right.
So, like, I don't know. Like, I always thought, nine planets. And then they were like, oh, just kidding, Pluto's not a planet. Yeah. I'm like, fuck,
it still does not make sense. There's eight planets. That does not compute for me.
It did not make sense. I was really into, like, weather and space when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So, the idea of, like, eight planets instead of nine to this day still fucking feels weird as shit to me.
Oh, I can see little Drew with a barometer and shit.
No, I had a, telescope. Like I said, I watched the Weather Channel every day in the morning, you know, get the weather and all that shit. I was very into, this isn't me. You're not my counselor. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a therapist.
Look at that moo cow.
And Tom Cow is putting in a lot of work today.
Yes, he is.
Don't know what we do without
him. We only got about 15 minutes left to show here. We still got a few segments we got to go through, so let's get through these as quick as we can. We had a tag match with Cesaro and Tyson Kidd against The New Day. Cesaro and Kidd got the win. Los Matadores was out there. They're making some kind of multi-tag team match at Mania. Who the fuck cares, right?
I'm just pissed off because for every year, Tony's like guessed that there's going to be a multi-man tag match. I think he was just doing it until he got it right.
I'm going to keep doing that until I get that big man buffet.
I'm going to keep doing until Punk returns.
I did like the little promo that they did ahead of time. The New Day, no way. Like, I was expecting them to do You Gay. And their little clap technique being better. That was fucking great. But man, you know who really sucked at this whole segment? Lillian.
Hmm.
She like forgot how to announce people. She's like making their way to the ring. Spice and Kid. Tag champs. He's just kind of like those guys.
Spice and Kid. That'd be awesome for Curry Man and Tyson Kid.
Oh, goodness. We had another backstage segment with Seth Rollins, this time with J&J Security, where both of them walked out on him as well. Joey Mercury actually continuing the silent guy thing. I guess that's like his whole new shtick. Any thoughts on these? I guess we'll summarize it all later. Never mind. We had our newest Hall of Fame inductee announcer, which actually happened earlier today, if you're paying attention to everything that's out there. But most of us probably heard it for the first time on Raw. The living legend, Larry Zbysko, now going to be in the Hall of Fame class of 2015. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm too young. I really don't have much of an opinion of it, but just from what they show, he looked like a very charismatic guy. And it looks like he accomplished, at least he won a World Heavyweight Championship at some point in his career, so.
Hmm. No problem with him.
What about Larry Zbysko? I missed what the question was.
Yep. All about Nabisco.
Fuck him. And Lanny Poffo.
Okay. Well, one thing that kind of bothered me that they said this, that he was the signature voice of WCW, which is a crock of bullshit. All right, it was Schiavone. I'm not a big Schiavone fan, but I'll give him his freaking justice dues there, all right? Larry Zbysko was the third man at best, and freaking Mike Tenay was a better third man than him, and Mike Tenay sucks.
Well, he's Iron Mike Tenay, though.
Yeah.
Iron.
Yeah, he looks like he's made of iron.
Yeah, he'll fuck you up. Look at that guy.
Yeah, fuck you, boy.
He totally deserves to have the same nickname as Mike Tyson.
Damn right.
Said it to you guys early. The only good thing that Larry Zbysko ever did was lose to AJ Styles.
Ferris 419 says, "Did you say Larry's a biscuit?"
Oh, dude, Larry's a biscuits. Those are
Larry's awesome. A shit biscuit.
That's what a shit biscuit is.
We came back from commercial with Kane and a bunch of jabronis in the ring. Mark Henry comes out, says that he's putting his hat into the Battle Royal at WrestleMania. They quickly throw out a bunch of the jobbers, leaving just Kane and Mark Henry in the ring. Mark Henry gets the advantage, and that's our build towards the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. No surprises, right?
They wasted the Axelmania thing here.
They really
don't
did.
Do a match ahead of time like this. It's really a shame.
They definitely did.
Definitely agree.
Paul Heyman came out for another fire promo. Once again, they cut his mic, which just completely confirms to me that this is something that they're purposely doing. Roman Reigns eventually comes out, interrupts, says that he's not there to speak to Heyman. He understands everything he's saying. He actually wants to speak directly to Lesnar. And that's when Roman Reigns turns toward the screen, and I notice something very different about his eyes. What the fuck is going on with that?
He stole them off Rey Mysterio.
I could have swore he had those last week, too.
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
But they look weird on him. They, like, most people that have dark hair, that, well, like, black hair, don't generally have blue eyes.
Especially Samoans.
So, yeah. I think that's something that Vince pushed on him. Sounds like his type of stupid
It makes
thing.
Him look like a superhero. I'll give him that. It makes something look like superhuman about him.
You know what? I think it's something that I'll get used to. I think it's just because it's different. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think it's going to be one of those things in the long run that we remember Roman Reigns
and
for.
You know what else is of note that I almost didn't even notice? He was not wearing a flak jacket tonight.
Sweet-ass
yeah,
t-shirt.
Yeah, that new t-shirt.
Very cool new t-shirt.
Very good t-shirt as well.
Yeah, it's simple. The t-shirt was simple, it was to the point, and it's something that you can actually sell for this guy.
It's like, it kind of reminds me of the Rock's gear that they were doing when his return came, where it was like quasi-motivational type stuff, where like people would wear that to the gym or some shit.
And that's cool, because him and The Rock are related, mm-hmm. so it's kind of a subtle nod to that. I kind of like how they used the Roman Reigns R's to look like an M mm-hmm. symbol.
It's called an ampersand. So,
yeah, I can't say that word, but you can
establish that.
The ampersand.
That was actually not too bad. No. Any thoughts about this thing with Paul Heyman and Roman?
Heyman doing a great job as always.
Indeed. And actually there was a follow-up where Renee Young caught Paul Heyman in the back. And Paul Heyman like kind of like lost his cool and pretty much said that Brock will be at Raw next week. We will finally have Brock Lesnar in the ring with Roman Reigns at the same time.
Question. Mm-hmm. Who gets laid out, or is it just even?
No, I don't think they touch. If they do this the right way, they should not touch. It should be tense. They should get each other's face, maybe like a little bit of a shove. But Brock Lesnar, don't throw fists on live TV for free.
Throws fucking elbows, though. That's John Cena.
Does anyone agree with me? Do you think that's how this should go? These guys should not touch until WrestleMania.
I wouldn't mind a pull-apart brawl.
I wouldn't mind them setting something up ahead of time where a lot of referees are in the ring, and that's why they don't get to touch.
Kind of like something what they did with Cena and Lesnar when he first came back.
Sure, I don't remember.
By the way, they just had a lot of people in the ring separating them, and it's like this big ordeal.
At the Mania match, if they don't do a spot where he flies across the ring for the Superman punch and gets caught in the F5, I'm going to call missed opportunity. Just saying.
Weird. We had a six-man tag match featuring majority of the guys that are involved with the Intercontinental title ladder match, except for R-Truth, who, big surprise, got to join us on commentary. He came out and he had this whole joke where like he had the title strapped to his back so no one saw him coming out with it. Friggin' JBL kept making jokes about it throughout the whole thing. It was kind of annoying, actually, because this was actually a pretty good match. A lot of excitement, especially mm-hmm. towards the end, and then even the post-match. They did a lot of like cat-and-mouse things with trying to get away with the Intercontinental title. And in the end, it ended where it frickin' belonged, with the Intercontinental champion, Wade Barrett, finally looking strong. This guy has just looked like a complete asshole since winning that title, which generally happens to people who win these mid-card titles. Looking fantastic now. Fucking awesome.
Especially with them abs.
With them abs. And that's them freaking shoulders, too, man. His shoulders are popping some veins. Ripped. Yeah, I don't know what he's been doing, but he's definitely been doing something strong.
Could WWE get mad if a fan had stole the belt off the back of R-Truth? Because his entire storyline's been based around thievery. A fan could have totally just grabbed it off his back while he sat there. I should have done it.
Indeed.
But yeah, as far as this match quality goes, fantastic. It's exactly what they needed to do. There's only 7 men in this match, which I think means Sheamus won't be in the Battle Royal and he'll be in this match instead to bring it to an even 8.
Huh.
That or Sin Cara.
Sin Cara?
Yeah,
Sin Cara's already been announced for the Battle Royal.
Yeah, they but I want to see fucking mind all the time.
Yeah, but I want to see him get put through a ladder.
And we had one final segment with Seth backstage. In this one, he pisses off Stephanie and Triple H. So it makes it look like Seth is shit out of luck going into his match against Randy Orton tonight. Lots of setup for that main event, which I think is cool. But one more thing I want to talk about before we get to that, and that's Bray Wyatt talking to an urn. Bray Wyatt talking to riddles. Really, the only thing I note I have from this is that it's a pretty cool looking urn. It was like this red and gold. Really nice looking. The only problem is it's kind of out of place because Undertaker's never been associated with an urn that looked like that.
Yeah, but Kama did.
Kama did?
Kama had those colors.
Yeah, but
and he stole the urn and melted it down and made a necklace out of it.
Really? That's right.
So it's going to be Kama in the corner of Bray Wyatt?
That comet in the urn. He's going to pop up from out of the urn. It's going to be a whole pop.
Yeah, why not? He's done every other gimmick. He should do a genie. A genie that pops out of the urn.
He could use the Papa Shango.
Anything anybody has to say about the actual Bray Wyatt words?
No. Nah, just man.
I did not care about this. This was a lot weaker than last week's segment.
Yeah. They better have something good planned for these last Raw before we go into it.
Undertaker needs to show up.
He's not going to.
I know he's not going to, but he needs to. Even if it's just lol scared you.
We finally had our main event, Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton. Seth Rollins comes out and tells Randy Orton, hey, it was all a trick, a ruse, a sham, a scam.
We got you guys.
It was all a joke the whole time. Everyone was just playing a joke, and they're all still friends with Seth Rollins, and they're going to come down there and beat the shit out of Randy Orton. But just as they're circling the ring, what do we hear? Gah! Yep, Sting finally showing up on Raw.
That was a terrible...
Oh shit, I thought it was a pterodactyl.
I'd be terrified if it was a pterodactyl. That'd be kick ass, man. Imagine the lights went out and then a pterodactyl was in the ring and helped. You think Randy Orton had a funny face? Like, what the fuck's going on with you? Imagine he took a look over to the side and saw a pterodactyl.
Wouldn't it be better, though, if you just RKO'd it out of nowhere?
But yeah, Sting showing up to the aid of Randy Orton to beat off the authority members. Whatever. I don't care about Sting. I'm sure lots of people out there care. I'm sorry. I don't. So you guys want to mark out for this?
I care because I never got a chance to actually see Sting in his prime, and I fucked TNA. We're it. So I kind of care that Sting. I actually have hopes that Triple H and Sting will be good. The feud isn't that bad. I just wish he showed up more kind of like a certain guy named Brock Lesnar, but that's just personal opinion. I don't think it'll be a terrible match. Even if Sting isn't as good as what he used to be, he can't be worse, and he can't be that bad. Can't be worse than Bray Wyatt. So I'll say my judgment until the match itself. I like this segment, though. I think it did what it needed to do. It was obvious as soon as the authority came out that he was coming out.
But... Anybody else, any thoughts?
Oh, my bad.
Thanks, that Drew. I thought the segment was awesome. I like it when... what they build to actually deliver somewhat in the end of the night. I'm really hoping Sting doesn't wrestle in that t-shirt. And please, for the love of God, dye your fucking hair black.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash did it. It's not a big deal. Just fucking swallow your pride, dye your hair. This is the big leagues
Hey,
now.
Sting, why don't you dye your hair?
For my thoughts black. On the Sting thing, read the article that I'm going to be posting in 6 hours. It's called WWE is Dropping the Ball with Sting.
There you go. All right. Well, we got to get out of here really fast. So, really quick plugs. Go ahead, Drew.
At Drew Savoy on Twitter, Mick Frickin' Duncan on YouTube. Go there. Follow me.
Mr. Sean Walker, plugs out there.
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Wago.
Plugs.
All right. Follow me on Twitter at Steve Wago to find all my projects such as Wago Rants and Addicted to Anime and UDMMA. Go to StephenWago.com.
Tony.
Mark out moment. Fanboys Anonymous.
Hold on,
all
hold on.
Talk show.
Go ahead, start over again, Tony.
Fanboys Anonymous. Mark out moment. All talk show. Go check them all out.
All right. You enjoyed this show. Find us every Monday night on megapowersradio.com. But if you can't join us live, find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, smarkoutmoment.com, YouTube, all places that podcasts are found and enjoyed. And while you're listening to us there, please help us out and support us by leaving us some positive feedback on those places. A 5-star rating can go a long way for us, and some nice comments will help extra people out there find the show and make things even more fun as we up the interactivity here on the show. Till next week, folks, we've enjoyed talking to you all this evening. Please join us every single week for Tony Mango, for Steven Wago, for Sean Walker, and for Drew White. I'm Mike Payne. We'll see y'all next time on the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com.